Well, continuing with the shipping theme, we're joined by another UCL researcher now, Tristan Smith, who is looking at ways of making shipping more sustainable. Hi, Tristan.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining us. We generally think about air freight as being the eco-villain when it comes to transporting things, including people, around the world. But shipping actually isn't environmentally innocent, is it? How do those emissions from planes and ships actually compare?
Okay, so if we look at a sort of global level, then shipping has got a very similar magnitude global emission of carbon dioxide to the aviation sector. It's overall, it's about the same. The difference is the amount of stuff that we move by ship is many, many more times greater. So ships are by themselves quite efficient carriers of cargo, but there are a lot of them in the world, and so there's still a significant issue in the carbon discussions that are going on.
And that's the carbon discussion specifically. So we're talking about climate change, but it's not just carbon that we should really be thinking about when it comes to shipping transport, is it? We've also got other nasties coming out of shipping fuel as well, including sulfur is a big problem.
That's quite right. Historically, ships haven't had the most highly regulated ways of being operated. And so we're still burning fuels in ships which were outlawed on land many, many years ago. And at the moment, that means that we're still burning very high sulfur fuels, ones with percentages of sulfur in their emission of about 3.5-4% in some cases. And that means that there are significant health issues associated with that.
So there are health issues associated with sulfur. Am I right that actually it counteracts climate change to some extent? When there's sulfur in the atmosphere, it helps reflect heat back into space?
That's great. Well, I'm not a climate scientist expert,
okay.
But I have heard that this is true, that there's a radiative forcing effect associated the sulfur emission, which means that you actually get a cooling, but that is a very short-term effect. So the sulfur is very quickly broken down in the atmosphere, and we can't really think of it as being the same effect as the one associated with the carbon emission, which obviously hangs around in the air for a lot longer.
Okay, so we've got these sort of slightly dirty fuels being used in the shipping industry, and the overall, you know, we've got the same amount of carbon coming out as we do from aeroplanes, but we're moving a lot more stuff around the world. In terms of trying to make shipping more sustainable, where are you targeting your efforts? Are you looking at fuel, or is it also about the boat designs as well themselves?
I think it's got to be a consideration of everything. It's actually quite an expensive sector to decarbonise, because as many people are aware, we've been building ships and moving stuff in them for a very long time, and we've got very efficient and good at it. But that doesn't mean that there isn't more that can be done. So certainly technologies that go on the ship itself, whether that's an engine modification or a means of assisting its propulsion in some way, such as a renewable technology, and then the fuels are something that you can do something about as well. You can move perhaps to a liquid natural gas fuel, which is being talked about at the moment, or even biofuels or hydrogen at some point in the future, perhaps.
And there is, to some extent, the fact that that shipping fuels are sort of under the radar a bit, and that we're not really thinking about them. We've actually had a question come in from Dally Waverider, who says that, in my understanding, is that basically marine fuel is asphalt, the dregs of the oil refinery process, but that the real problem is that this all happens out at sea and there's no one really to complain about it, and wants to know if there is any moves underway to burn cleaner fuels at sea. So why is it that we aren't really regulating what's going on in terms of shipping emissions and fuels being used?
Well, I think it's partly that. It's you know, out at sea, it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and so quite often doesn't get the clamour of public opinion that might drive changes in other industries. It's also a very international industry, and so it's, you know, regulation is very hard to bring in, because you might change something in Europe, but in practice everyone might fill their ships up in a different continent. So it's very hard to bring something in that's going to be universally effective. But there is currently a regulation in due to come into force in 2020, which will mean that we can no longer burn the sort of heavy fuel oils, which is the generic term for the high sulfur fuels that are currently being burnt on ships.
And there are some other environmental impacts of shipping as well, aren't there? I mean, one thing I suppose to consider is the issues of ballast water and carrying various species around the oceans that aren't supposed to be there. That presumably is something else that needs to be thought about.
Quite. It's one of those unintended consequences that just all of a sudden someone points out and you think, well, why didn't we think of that before? Unfortunately, when a ship has discharged its cargo, it needs to take on water in order to make sure that when it goes back out to sea, it will be stable enough not to capsize. And that water is pumped into the ship when it is in its port at which it's just offloaded its goods. And then as it moves across the oceans and comes to another part of the world, it will then pump out the water. And that's been a very neat way of moving one species from one part of the world to another that probably wouldn't have got there under its own steam.
Absolutely. So that's something that needs to be considered. But if we head back to the boats again, is there, you know, we've been using boats, like you said, for probably as long as we've been moving ourselves around the world. But can we radically redesign the way boats are made and the way we do travel across the oceans? Is there some way that we can sort of rethink the whole thing to make it much more, even more sustainable today?
Absolutely. And I think there's a myriad of brilliant ideas out there that could all be fantastic solutions in the future to help tackle climate change and to make shipping a much more environmentally friendly means of moving goods and make it the most environmentally friendly and more competitive than the alternative modes. But they all need to be thought through in terms of the detailed design, but also their economics, because everything comes at a price and some things are going to be cheaper than others.
And just to throw an enormous question out at you, what would you think the ideal situation would be if we were looking forwards into the future of global container shipping and moving things around the world? What would be the best thing that we could look forward to, do you think?
Well, I'm quite a big fan of wind power as a means of supporting some other onboard fuel that could be used to take up and keep the ship on schedule if the wind suddenly dies. So, for example, a hydrogen-powered fuel cell or a biofuel-powered, very efficient diesel engine could be a means of providing a combination of technologies that could deliver that very efficient, low-carbon ship in the future.
So we could be looking at almost a sort of hybrid between a sailing ship and a cutting-edge 21st-century battery-powered ship to get us around the oceans, maybe?
I think it's a combination. There's nothing that's going to beat the fantastic efficiency, or not efficiency, but economic efficiency of a fuel like oil and a diesel engine. But it's going to be a combination of things that comes in to do something similar.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Tristan. That was Tristan Smith. He's from University College London, and he'll actually be with us for the rest of the show. So if you've got any questions you'd like him to have a go at, or for us, then do get in touch. We are at Naked Oceans. Alternative, you can write it on our Facebook wall, thenakedscientist.com/Facebook. I just said oceans, I meant naked scientists. Sorry, there we go. So just dropping something else in there. But do send us an email, chris@thenakedscientist.com.
Slight Freudian slip there. You can get more information about what's going on in the oceans and the Naked Oceans podcast. That's at Naked Oceans on Twitter. But if you'd like to get in touch with us, tweet at Naked Scientists.
Keeping you abreast of the world's best science, The Naked Scientists.